The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Going now. We have a lot to do tonight. We're going to talk to Tex Mars first up this evening, and Tex's most current newsletter, The Power of Prophecy, the headline, and this is happening more and more. There are people now who are reporting to me that their entire monetization has been permanently canceled by YouTube, Amazon, Google. I don't mean Amazon, YouTube, Google. This is censorship. This is Soviet Union stuff. It's getting worse. It's not getting better. I don't hear the president standing up and talking about this. It's an outrage when you financially destroy somebody in terms of the kind of work they're doing because it's not politically correct in the eyes of the people who own the company. You know, you can argue, I guess intellectually, they have a right to do that, but it's as wrong as it gets. This whole idea of freedom of expression, freedom of press, First Amendment rights, if we don't have that, we don't have anything. Texas Power of Prophecy reads, Amazon, Jeff Bezos, bans Tex Mars' book for, quote, content. Holy Serpent of the Jews reveals too much truth, and that's the damn truth. Too much truth. Tex's book is extraordinary. So Amazon is playing the same game Google and YouTube are. They are shutting people down. And with every one of these events, your right to know, your God-given right to know, is being further eroded and taken away from you by the global elite and their corporatocracy that runs this country. It's that bad. Tex, welcome back. How are you, my friend?
Jeff, it's great being with you again.
Thank you. Thank you. I was sorry to read this, but, there's a guy who does a program here on the network. It's called X-22, and mm-hmm. They have permanently demonetized. He'll never get it back, his videos.
Oh, my.
He can't. He's done.
Well, this did not surprise me at all, but, you know, it is a shame that we don't have freedom of the press in America because only a small handful of Jewish-owned high-tech companies, Google, Amazon, and so forth, control the book buying in America, the publishing.
That's right.
The publishing industry in New York is owned by Jewish concerns. And these concerns, the publishing and the internet, of course, owned by them as well, and they're able to control what goes in the news. So you really don't, you can't trust anything. It's not only what Donald Trump says about the media being the enemy of the people. That's true, too, because 90% of the media is also owned by these same Jews. So anyone who says, well, I don't see a Jewish conspiracy, give me evidence of it. And in about 1 minute, you and I have both just told them where it is, or a great part of it. But I do find it very, very sad that even a book cannot be published, a book cannot be distributed and sold without the permission of certain Jewish officials. And that's what's happened to mine, is that The Holy Serpent of the Jews was a book that I very carefully... And you know this, Jeff, because I've sent you a copy of the book. Yeah. I very carefully made it a book that explains the truth about Judaism.
Yeah.
What Jesus called the religion of ancient men. It's not of God. It's of the traditions of the Jews. He said, "You have," this is Jesus' words. He told the Pharisees, the Jews, "You have for your religion the traditions of men. It's not even the Old Testament." So I wrote down those traditions, and what I did was I very carefully researched Jewish encyclopedias, Jewish books, and the actual quotes of the top, not just obscure little rabbis somewhere, but the top rabbis in the whole world. I have those quotes in that book, and I thought, well, maybe it might be that this will get by, but that's what angered them the most, that I actually quoted those rabbis, because what those rabbis said is so shocking. They believe that normally it's only, you know, in the Hebrew language. Many times it's published only in Israel, and they did not realize that there would be a Gentile who would go to those sources and select those quotes and go to those research materials so that I could say this is a truthful book. And that's what really, really got to them. They would love this to be anti-Semite material, because that way, then everyone can hate Tex Mars. You know, if you publish terrible stuff talking about the Jews,
right?
Well, you deserve to be pilloried and beat up and all that.
Oh, and boiled in human excrement forever, right?
Right. So they could not come back to me and say, okay, we've seen your book, and here's all the mistakes in it, or here's where you lie about Jewish rabbis.
You can't do it.
They said,
can't
no,
do
they
it.
Can't. They simply said, we cannot distribute your book because of its content. Well, they didn't. Well, what content? Well, they already knew. They didn't. They were very vague on that, because of its content. So it's a real shame that you have a real book about a real religion, and it's you know, if the Muslims were to control the press, if they were to own Amazon and Google and so forth, then maybe they would do the same thing. I don't trust the Muslims either, believe me. But in this case, it's the Jews that owned it. So whether it's the Muslims or the Jews, you're going to get it in the neck if you take a different viewpoint. So Christians need to understand that.
Right.
Because I've often said that the Jews and the Muslims, it's just like you put two scorpions in a bottle. They don't become friends in that bottle. They fight each other to the death.
Indeed, they do. The other thing that should be mentioned here is that you predicate all of your books and all of your research on essentially direct quotes from the source, from the Jewish source. That's how you compile your research. You go to the source. You don't just sit back and say, well, I think this, I think that. You're not pontificating about anything. And this is the same thing that David Duke does. He quotes them, and they hate him. Oh, my God, do they hate him. And the same with you. Your research is above any reproach. It's absolutely, it's them. You're simply exposing them. That's all. And they can't stand it. Can't stand
That's
it.
That's true, Jeff. You know, David Duke, as a very young man of what, 19, 20, 21, he was a member for a little while of the Ku Klux Klan. Just as many of the
That's
senators
right.
have been, many of the judges and all that. But he's now... Oh, I wouldn't want to say how I don't want to talk about he's probably at least 70, 75, something like that. He doesn't look it. He looks good. He's a nice-looking man. But
he seems late 60s, I think.
There you go. Okay, so 40, 50 years ago, he was a member of that, and he's renounced that. So think about that, though. I mean, his books have nothing to do with the KKK. Nothing at all. I mean, should we, you know, the guy on CNN, Wolf Blitzer, was a member of, what was it, the Jewish ADL or AIPAC, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, this very vicious Jewish organization. So shouldn't we hold that against Wolf forever and ever and ever? Well, you know, if he still holds those views, maybe so. But David Duke has said over and over, no, I don't hold those views anymore. And it was only a youthful, maybe indiscretion. But again, and his books are very good sources, excellent sources. You can disagree with David Duke. If you're going to disagree with Tex Mars or David Duke, then why don't you get out the books and go look at all the research they've done and then attack it on the basis of the research. And I like people that do that. I really do. But I don't usually get, very rarely, because they can't. They know when they read it, they know instantly that it's correct. So
that's right.
That's why
right.
they have a problem. And I'm sure the same thing is true for David Duke's books.
David I know very well. He actually stayed out here at the house for 10 days with his partner. And we had a lot of wonderful talks. Long time ago, and he kept pointing out, well, not kept, but he did point out a couple of times that how Senator Robert Byrd was a grand dragon? Hillary called him. He was Hillary's mentor and hailed as one of the great senators in American history, modern American history. Total KKK. But that's okay.
Yeah, of course, you know, Sanders. You know, the great hero idol of the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
He's a communist he's so enamored of the communist role that he actually, when he got married, he had his honeymoon in Moscow. So,
that's really hysterical. He also was in the most communist kibbutz in Israel when he was over there doing his work. Yeah, it was the most hardcore, this is what I read, communist kibbutz in Israel.
Boy, wow. Well, there you go. So he's doubly bad there, Zionist, communist.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. But, you know, all these things, of course, many of these things stay hidden for years and years and years. But it never came up during his campaign. Hillary never complained about the fact that he was a communist,
right?
Socialist. She never would say a thing about that. Of course not, because she's and her husband, Bill Clinton, are very much communists themselves. They may not carry a card around that says communist.
Don't have to. They are.
They don't.
Sure, you bet.
Everybody knows what they are. They're Marxists. And so, of course, Bill Clinton, you know, had a beard and marched around at these hippie meetings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And all in England, avoiding the draft during his young youthhood. Nobody talks about that. They always go back to poor David Duke, you know. And so David Duke, he has to, if he's on a talk show, he has to defend himself first.
Well, he's getting away from that now. He says, I really don't have time to talk. If you want to read about this, go to my site. And he tries to address the issues. So David is doing very good work. And, you know, they kick him around. And yet his tweets are up in the hundreds of millions of reads. People,
wow.
He's one of the, what is he? One of the most 100 most quoted people on the planet.
Boy, that's impressive.
In terms of Twitter.
I knew that his YouTube messages were getting great audiences, too.
Yes, they are. Absolutely. He's got great videos. I've run most all of them, and Yep.
Well, you know, they've tried to get rid of your website, for example, rents.com, a great website. Get the news there. I go to it every day. It has unique stories from some of the best writers in America. And you just have a unique viewpoint on those things. And I always go to Rents.com. And they've tried to get rid of my website. Right now, there is a huge campaign. You're right. It's bigger than anything we can imagine. And a lot of websites have been just erased. Suddenly they find their stuff not even on the Google list or whatever.
They you know what? They won't. Let me interrupt. Excuse me, but I got to put this in. They're going to have problems. Not that they can't do it. I'm not challenging them. But I've been doing this program for 24 years. And the website's been at it 23 years. And now that I'm actually calling Trump out, I'm essentially on their side of the fence, at least in terms of holding Trump accountable. So they're going to have a problem getting rid of me. Now, getting rid of me, it was 2 years ago this month on the 25th that they tried to kill me. And the man stepped in and stopped it. I was in critical. I was in a coma. I shouldn't have survived. My data, when I look it up in the medical literature, the kind of injuries to my head that I had less than a 10% chance of surviving.
Oh, my goodness.
Even if I had had the surgery and I declined the surgery and checked myself out the next day. They were standing by. I was in ICU. They were all standing by, scrubbed, waiting, and I woke up, and I shouldn't have, but somebody woke me up. And the nurse said, "Don't move." I said, "Where am I?" And she said, "You're in the intensive care unit at Rogue Valley Memorial Hospital, and you've been in a terrible car crash, and you're bleeding profusely, and we have to hurry. We're going in to stop the bleeding." And I didn't know what the hell she was talking about. I said, "Bleeding where?" She said, "In your brain. You have massive dual subdural hematoma on both sides of your head. And you could die at any moment." And I said, the next thing I said, Tex, and it wasn't my voice. It was my voice, okay, but I wasn't speaking. Somebody was speaking through me. And it said, "No surgery." And she stepped back. She got scared. She said, "You don't understand. They're all scrubbed. The neurosurgeons are standing by. They're on their way to get you right now."
And I said,
"No, you don't understand. I'm in full control of my faculties. I do not authorize surgery under any circumstance." And she's backed away. And I said, "You go ask the doctor for another CAT scan to find MRI to find out if the bleeding has stopped." She didn't want to do it. I finally made her do it, and they caved in, and they did give me another MRI, and the bleeding had stopped. It was stable.
Really was a miracle.
Something stepped in there. I knew if I went in that operating room, Tex, I wasn't coming out. I knew it. I just knew it. And whatever the voice was that was using my body to speak was not me. I had been in a coma. I just opened my eyes. I didn't know where the hell I was. And I said, "No surgery," and those words very loudly. She could not believe it. But I would have come out of there a vegetable in a wheelchair or feet first on a gurney down to the morgue of the hospital. And
and that's regardless of whether it was a plot or whatever. You know, hospitals are just very dangerous places.
Very much so.
They're
going to
really
take the top of my head off and go through and start cauterizing all the bleeding and killing parts of my brain. I knew it.
Yeah.
I said no.
Yeah.
Nope.
Oh, boy.
So, anyway.
Well, good for you, Jeff.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really glad. Are you healed from that now? You feel like you sound great.
I'm as good as I can be, considering I haven't had any time to rest and really recover. But I'm still working, and I never stopped working. I just kept pushing right through. I got things to do. We don't have time to waste. So.
Well, sometimes that might save us in the fact that we feel that we have things to do.
Yeah.
I feel that you do have things to do, and you had things.
This happened Friday night. I was on the air Monday night. And I should have been in the hospital for up to 2 weeks after major brain surgery.
So I'm sure you're inspiring other people, even telling that story tonight. Well, and there's your reason for going on. Well, that's just great. Well, when I read Rents.com from now on, I want to have a little bit different perspective.
I'm on borrowed time, and I'm making the most of it. So let's.
There you go. That's right. Well, you know, you mentioned that about Trump. I like it that you're putting in honest things about Trump. And that's what I hope maybe we can have a little bit of time to talk about. Now, I'll talk about anything you want. You're the boss.
No, go right to it, because we're going to go through the break at the bottom, Todd. I wasted too much of Tex's time here. Go ahead, Tex. Let's get into this. Trump, first 100 days, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
And the ugly. Like the old movie, you know, the good,
yes.
The bad, and the ugly. Because there are some ugly things that do concern, and I know they concern you and me. But then there's good things. I mean, goodness gracious, when you compare against what Hillary would have done, man, we'd had a total on every one of these points. It'd been a U or ugly, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So there are good things. Maybe I could mention the good first. Is that okay?
Please do. That'll take about 30 seconds.
No, I think there's more good than that. Then we go to the bad and then the ugly. We'll leave that for last. I've got several of that.
Go to it.
Well, good. You know, he signed a bill they were blocking the states because of an Obama bill. They would not allow states to disapprove Planned Parenthood monies. Wow. So the state of Texas here, a court had ruled that the state could not block money from going to Planned Parenthood. That was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So now, though, he signed a bill, and states can go to court or can pass legislation, and I'm sure Texas will, and no more money for Planned Parenthood. And then a good thing was, the G, he told Planned Parenthood, we'll give you federal money if you stop abortions. And of course, they're a baby-killing organization.
Yes, they are.
I mean, that's what they do. They're not going to stop that.
They not only kill babies, but they sell off all kinds of body parts and blood products and blood supply. They not much of the fetus is really thrown out. They use it in all kinds of things. Wasn't they found out that they were putting human fetal tissue in Coca-Cola about a year ago?
I saw that. It's amazing. I don't know why they would do that,
but anyway,
he did. He says no abortions, and then I'll give you the money, but they won't do it. So good for him. Another thing is Hewitt, his EPA director. He stopped a lot of spending today. He cut off gym memberships. Now these people are in the EPA. These stupid bureaucrats were having the government pay up to $15,000 for them to go to the gym every day. Hey, there's a lot of people listening to us that can't afford that. $15,000? Hey, they can sit around at home and lift stones or whatever. But anyway, you had said no to that. He cut that out entirely. Mm-hmm. And he also was on the TV the other day, Fox, I believe it was, and he says no to the climate treaty. Now, I think Trump has a week or so to make a final decision, but it looks like they're going to say no to the climate treaty. So that's a bunch of bunk, of course, and everybody knows it is. So that's good. Another thing is that the president refused to go to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. See, they have a dinner every year, and all the White House correspondents go there. And it's a filthy thing. In fact, I remember George Bush's wife, Laura, went there and she's expected, you know, the first lady to say a dirty joke. And she did. She talked about him masturbating a horse. George Bush masturbating a horse.
Come on.
No, she did. I'm serious. She joked about him masturbating.
Oh,
a horse.
God. Yeah.
So that was Laura Bush. Of course, you know, Laura Bush actually said that her most favorite play or movie was The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Uh-huh.
That was the American Library Association.
maybe this horse masturbation is just something that cowboys do.
Well, but George Bush, he laughed big. And of course, they all laughed big at all these dirty jokes and everything. But Donald Trump said he's too busy to go. And it turns out that at this White House Correspondents' Dinner this year, they've invited a Muslim to be a comedian and to officiate. A Muslim. So
how
they were
going
to blast. So he said he wasn't going. But he is, and here's another good thing, Jeff. He is the first president to accept that he is going to be a speaker at the annual conference of the National Rifle Association.
Uh-huh.
And no other president has had the guts to do that.
That's right.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I think Charlton Heston did it one year. But he's the first president to do that. And that was good. Now, he continues to build the wall. He said he's seen the plans for it. Even though cowardly Paul Ryan said he's against it.
Rat Ryan is against it. A lot of people are against it. He's given the Pentagon $58 billion. The estimates to build the entire wall are $26 billion now. I frankly don't think it's going to happen. There may be some segments built. I don't see it. The military-industrial complex is screaming to be fed with new contracts, money, blood, pain, anguish. This is war.
Yeah.
It's all about war. They want to be fed. This is what they do.
That's true, and that's one of the bad things. Well, we'll get to that in a minute about the military. But anyway, he does. It looks like he wants to build the wall. Of course, Paul Ryan and the Congress don't much care for it. And he hasn't yet told us, this is bad, but it's not a ugly thing yet. He hasn't yet told us how the Mexicans are going to pay for it. So I'm still waiting on that one. But he contends he's got the plans on the wall. So let's give him a G on that for now, Jeff.
All right.
just for now. Now, he gave us Gorsuch at the Supreme Court, and it looks like maybe, I've heard different tales about Gorsuch as the Supreme Court judge, but maybe that's okay. So I gave him a G on that. Now, on China and Korea, you know, he made some statements about China during the campaign, about them being a currency manipulator,
yes.
The trade deficit and all
right.
that. But he seems like he may be using that against China to get them to do something to stop Korea's nuclear weapons and missiles. And I think that's a good thing. China's never done one diddly thing for any other president to help them in the Korea thing. So if they can put a stompers on Korea, that'd be great. So I sort of give him a G for that, too. What do you think?
Oh, I guess you can give him a pass there. I don't know.
Okay. We'll see, right?
Yeah, time will tell, honestly.
Yeah.
There have been so many aberrations and strange lacks of consistency. So we'll see. I just don't know.
Yeah, so we will see on that one. But it looked like things may work out. Now, Sessions seems like he's doing a pretty good job. He first cowardly recused himself on the Russian issue mm-hmm. with Congress. But he's come out very hard on immigration. It looks like the Mexicans and the Central Americans are so frightened. They know they're not going to get a free pass, you know, catch and release program. They think they know that's gone. So immigration's down 60-90% of illegal immigration. That is, and I think that's fantastic. That's good. Now sanctuary cities. Sessions made a very strong statement on it.
Right.
And I saw Lansing, Michigan. Boy, that mayor. He was bragging about how he's going to keep on that. He's going to stay a sanctuary city. And they told him they're going to take his money away. And bingo, the whole city council changed tail and they changed their story on that. And a few other cities to have as well. So it looks like they're going in the right direction on the sanctuary cities. Now, the stock market seems to be about stable now. But it really went up when Trump was elected. That's good. Now, Trump has cut the budget. He's cut a lot of little silly stuff out of the budget, which is good. Although he's going to, I think it's maybe you disagree with me on this, but he wants to spend over $1 trillion on the infrastructure. And I'll tell you, you know.
Oh, no, I think that's wonderful. I support that 100%. But where's the money going to come from?
Where's the money? That's true. Well, I do, too, because I tell you, Juan and I, just for fun, we had several conferences, and we took off in our car.
Uh-huh.
This was several years ago. And, man, the American highways, the freeways are full of potholes. Bridges are old. I was really sort of disappointed. I mean, I love to see America, but I drove all the way from New York to Texas.
It was bad.
And I told Wanda, boy, yeah. Somebody's got to do something about our infrastructure.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And he says he's going to. I agree with you. I think that's good. And he's cutting the budget, a little bit of it out. Now, he did say TPP is out, the trade agreement.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's good. NAFTA is being revamped. That's good. And he stood up to the Mexicans. That's great. Jobs are up.
But when you got 95 million out of work and not even looking for work anymore, what is 30,000 jobs do?
Well, that's right. But he is trying on that. And before, they seemed like they were more interested in building Cadillacs and.
They had a Buick. They had Buick assembly plants in China.
Yes, they did. And I remember Hillary went over and thanked the Slovenians for building a Cadillac plant
mm-hmm.
over in Slovenia.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just amazing. So now another thing that's good is he's down on drugs, the opioids and all that, and stopping them across the border. Of course, a lot of presidents have said they were down on the drug cartels and all that, but it seems like he might do something on that. That's good.
Well, he and Sessions are down on marijuana, which is not very smart. It's creating a lot of jobs. It's generating an enormous amount of income for Colorado, for example. Huge. Oregon is way ahead of the projections. So there are some very good things about pot that he really shouldn't be. I don't get that part of it. So,
well, he's really on the opioids too. Really,
yeah.
The OxyContin and all those things. That's really harming people. Now, the interesting thing is, he seems like he's going. He hasn't made it a major issue, but he seems to be headed toward that in Sessions. They're moving against the pedophiles, and that's sort of an interesting thing.
Well, that's a very
now,
big
we'll
thing,
see.
And I hope it's true. There have been about 1,400 small fish arrested so far, but no big ones, not yet.
That's true. Of course, when they bring in Wiener, then we'll know maybe they're serious, right?
Yeah, if he makes it, he could be removed at any time.
Oh, I bet he could. Well, another good is that the coal industry, he's bringing back the coal industry,
mm-hmm.
and amazing, they had no sales to China last year, and I think now they're like tripling their sales to China, and so they're really selling coal now. It's beginning to come up. Gas and oil is really beginning to be produced, so it looks like his promises to the energy industry are coming true, and that's great. Now, the final thing, on the media, he's been bashing the media, which I think is pretty respectable. He hasn't given them a free pass at all, and that's great. Now, school choice, which, I sort of favor. I know there's some downfalls to it, but it's not his fault that the teachers are just resisting that every which way. But he's still, got a good gal in there, so they're trying to do a little bit. He also made some pledges on the inner city blacks situation, and he's got a good guy in there, in Ben Carson as his housing director, and I'm sure Ben is trying to do a good job. That's going to be a toughie too, but that remains to be seen. Though I sort of gave that a iffy.
Right.
Now we start with the bads. Can we maybe
yeah.
get some other goods?
Go right
okay,
ahead.
All right, with the bads. Syria. It seems to me, Jeff, I don't know about you, but I viewed the video they had very carefully. And they took all these kids out to this piece of tin, and they were washing them down with a hose using their hands. Now, you know, I was in the Air Force for 20 years, and we had all these drills about what to do in case of a chemical, biological attack or whatever. And they never told us to use our hands to wash off or to wash anyone off. And that seemed to be, and those guys were doing it just, haphazardly. They'd take out the victim and lay him down and just, wash him with their hands. And I knew right away, and everybody was just looking around like it was nothing, just nonchalantly watching it all. So there was no real, there was no indication there had been any kind of chemical attack at all. And I frankly believe it was all a hoax.
It was. The attack resulted from the Syrian Air Force bombing an ISIS weapons depot where they had stored illegal sarin and or chlorine gas, and from the rescuers not having hazmat type suits on. You have to get the idea that they're either supermen or something was not right.
That's right. And so I think we've got a terrible thing. I believe, frankly, from what I've read of Assad over the years, and I've been reading about him and studying him ever since he took over from his dad, when his dad died, it seems to me that as far as dictators go, he's very mild.
An eye doctor, for goodness sakes. Married to a British woman. Yeah.
Yeah, and she seemed to be a good person. And I think he's getting a raw deal here. And it's all, and to me, it's all because Israel hates Syria.
Right.
Because Syria has helped Hamas. So they want to destroy Syria. That's one of their main... Syria and Iran are on Israel's destroy list. And Israel is there bombing and killing Syrians right now, as you and I are on the telephone. Israel is the main problem. That's who we should be bombing if we're going to bomb anybody. And I think Assad is getting a raw deal, and he's not a bad sort of guy. As far as the Arab world goes, he's a very benevolent, mild dictator. So he's getting a raw deal only because Israel is opposed to him. And then that goes to the military, to McMaster's as head of the National Security Council, and Mad Dog Mattis as the man at the Pentagon. Both these guys are CFR pawns. That's what they're just puppets of the Council on Foreign Relations.
You're totally right. Yeah.
And I knew when they were appointed. Of course, the first thing Mad Dog Mattis did was compliment global warming and saying what the military needs to do to keep up the war against climate change. And that showed me he's a little bit of a nut. So he may be a mad dog, but he's a little bit of a mad dog nut. As McMaster's goes, he's CFR too, and I'm not sure about him. So to me, they're just pawns, and they seem to love war. The CFR has always wanted every war they could get. So they're just, they're warmongers. And if this is a sign of what Trump's going to do in the world, then we could be in some big problems. And, of course, he appeared to be another Ron Paul, but he's no Ron Paul at all. So I'm very opposed to what we did in Syria. I think we should have got out of there right away. And it seems like there's a talk that we're going to go with a lot of troops into Syria.
Well, they're already in there, and there may end up being, we should stay the hell out. Absolutely, we should stay out. There may turn out to be, McMaster wants 150,000. Mattis is hesitant. Trump is apparently now moved to a 50,000 troop number to work with.
So they're absolutely
going to invade that country. They just invaded Somalia yesterday. It's really crazy. So what's going on? It's crazy.
Well, maybe sometime we could talk about the, and I'm sure you already have, Israel's master plan for the Middle East. They want to control the Middle East. They want to destabilize every country. It's better for a country not to have a leader.
Right.
To destabilize it. And that's what they've done in Libya with Gaddafi. They've done it in Iraq. I believe they want to do it in Syria and Iran, too. So right. If they can destabilize it, they've got the war won. Of course, they built the largest U.S. embassy in the world in little old Iraq.
Right in Baghdad. Yeah, they took over Saddam Hussein's residence, palace, whatever you want to call it, and the enormously complicated and deep underground facilities that were designed and built under a German architect. He was one of the world's best at the time. So, yeah, these underground facilities are being fully used in Baghdad. It's quite a complex.
It is. It's America's largest embassy in the entire world.
Right.
Now, not in Russia, not in Germany, not in Great Britain, but in little old Iraq, we've spent billions along the river there in Baghdad to build that.
You know where the second biggest one
embassy.
Is?
Excuse me?
You know where the second biggest one is? Second largest. South Africa.
Oh, South Africa.
Huge.
Oh, boy, that would tell you some things, too.
Yeah.
So, to me, that's a bad thing. Syria is ugly. I put that in the U category for ugly. Also, when you get to the internet, his handling of the internet, you know, what Google and Amazon and all the others are doing to the internet and controlling it is a very bad, bad thing. And as you said, they're taking away people's freedom to read or to buy books or to watch all the YouTube shows of their choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an ugly thing. For the president to allow that and not to criticize it is an ugly thing.
Completely agree.
So that would be ugly thing. Another area that's ugly is the financial area. He's now put in place the CFR Goldman Sachs team. You know, I don't mind them being rich men. Sometimes maybe a rich man would understand the financial system. But we've always talked about the Jews head of the finance. Of course, we've got Miss Yellen, who's Jewish, head of the Fed Reserve. He seems to be happy with her. We have Mnuchin, who's Jewish and a Goldman Sachs alumni, as Secretary of Treasury. And then as head of the National, the Financial Council, I forget the official name of it, is Gary Cohen, another Goldman Sachs alumni.
Right.
So he's got two Goldman Sachs there running the financial business of America.
Yeah.
And that's not good to me. That's ugly. That's unsavory.
You saw the picture of the National Security Council meeting with seven Zionist Jewish flags over each person who was representative of Zionism. It was a majority. It was clear what's going on. There's no doubt about it. It's not good for this country. We're not supposed to have a Jewish-dominated government.
2.5% of the people are Jews.
In
100% of the financial leaders are Jews.
Right.
And I think that's very derogatory. And then, of course, he's got Jared Kushner, his son-in-law. That's another ugly.
That's the biggest ugly of all, I think. That guy should not be.
Is.
He should not be anywhere near the White House. He's in Trump's shorts half of the time. He's always right there. He won't talk to the press. No one can get a read on him. Trump sent General Joe Dunford, Pentagon chief, to the Middle East and sent Kushner with him. For what?
I don't know what this 30-year-old Jewish guy and of course he was owner of that newspaper in New York because of his dad, who was a billionaire,
right?
And his dad also was a crook who went to prison for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, look at Kushner.
New Jersey there.
Kushner has arms like toothpicks. He has the worst looking shirt collars I've ever seen. Look at him when his shirt is buttoned up. These are not normal shirt collars. They don't come down, like, to a point. They go horizontal, and it makes him look like some ill-dressed junior high school kid. The shirts, I don't know where he gets his wardrobe. The guy is the most ill-dressed person I've ever seen at that level.
I'm going to have to be looking for that. I haven't
his
even
shirt
noticed.
Collars are so bad, Tex, it's a joke.
You know, Chris Christie was head of the transition team. The governor of New Jersey.
Yeah.
But it turns out that he was fired because Kushner's father didn't like him because he's the one as U.S. attorney in New Jersey that had put the senior Kushner in prison as for racketeering.
Right.
So when Jared Kushner got the power there as he had Trump to fire Chris Christie. And of course, Chris Christie went back to being a governor now. I guess that's all he can do. So there's a lot of things going on there. But Jared Kushner, the president brags on him and says he thinks he can bring peace to the Middle East.
Oh.
And I think he can if he will encourage the Israelis to go ahead and kill all of the Palestinians.
Greater Israel.
Knock them all off.
Of course.
There can be peace.
That's right.
I'm sorry to say that, but that's probably what he's advising. Now, he's married to Ivanka, of course. And Ivanka has the biggest office next to the Oval Office.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
That's interesting. It may be true.
Yeah, she has a big, big office there. And it's interesting, too. Nobody knows what she's done, but she's the one, she and Jared, who recommended the Syria attack, is my understanding, but I don't know. She also, her first formal visitation was with Planned Parenthood.
Another giveaway, yep.
Yeah, her first meeting was with Planned Parenthood in the White House, but I understand that she said, well, I have to go along with my father. So that hasn't been overturned yet, so we'll see what happens there. So in any case, that seems to be a U. The Internet's a U, meaning ugly. The Jewish connection there with Kushner and Mnuchin and Cohen all seems to be a U. And then let's see, what else do we have? Oh, yes, we have intelligence and the FBI. He has done a terrible job with intelligence and the FBI. It seems like the intelligence sort of running things around there. And, of course, it was amazing, wasn't you, Jeff, that Rogers, the admiral in charge of the NSA, and Comey, the head of the FBI, sitting side by side, mm-hmm. lying their back ends off to the House Committee on Intelligence.
Yes.
Just lying.
Yeah.
Lying.
Yeah.
Saying, no, there has been no investigations, no wiretapping, no surveillance of the Trump campaign. They just lied. I don't know how they thought they could get away with it, but they still, let's just say they've still got away with it. They're still there. I mean, here's this tall, lanky, lying crook at the FBI, and right next to him is Rogers, and he's as big a liar as any in the world.
Yeah.
And they're both just lying. And yet they still keep their job. How's that? The deep state succeeds again. So that's a strange thing. I call that an ugly, ugly, ugly thing. And, of course, Hillary, she's still out there doing her thing. That's ugly. And even the president told Maria Bartiromo in his interview the other day, President Trump said she should be in prison. Comey did her a favor.
He said that again,
she did,
huh?
Is indictable.
Well, he's, remember, no, you got it wrong. The Clintons are good people. She's suffered enough. She deserves time just to rest and recover. I'm not going after these people. Don't forget
that's
that.
That's what he said. That's what he said, but he seemed like he changed his mind with Maria Bartiromo, a flip-flop. First he said they're good people. How could they be good? They ripped America off of probably $1 billion with the Clinton Foundation. And they're lying, and they, you know, all those emails gone, you know, just scissored up.
Yeah.
And yet they're good people. He doesn't want to bring any more pain on to them. Then suddenly the other day he's telling Maria Bartiromo that Comey gave her a break, and she's a crook. She should be indicted for every single charge, he said. So what do we know there? It seems like he's done an ugly, ugly job with Hillary and with the intelligence services. So that's a bad situation. So that's sort of where I guess now. Finally, is religious rights. I think he's going to do okay. We'll see. The religious right is still supporting him. He has not yet done away with 501c3. And also the IRS, he has not yet prosecuted Koskinen, the lying head of the
mm-hmm.
IRS, or Miss Lois Lerner,
mm-hmm.
who lied about the tea parties.
Right.
So Lois Lerner and Koskinen are still there. Of course, Lois, she's enjoying her retirement pay, having little tea parties with her girlfriends. and I'm using Tea Party sort of, you know, humorously, since she persecuted the Tea Parties. But in any case, seems to me the IRS is not going to do a good job there. Just like the intelligence and the FBI, they're getting a pass as well.
Sure.
So these are the areas where I give him U's. So all in all, what grade do I give him? Oh, maybe a C. I don't know where you would put it, but I think about a C. And, you know, considering that Hillary Clinton would have got an F, probably is doing okay.
Well, it was a tragic case of we all hoped that there just might be a way that a real unique American could sneak in the side door with a victory and change the way we do business. It didn't turn out to be that way.
No, it didn't. But we're getting some, I say, bones thrown at us.
Well, if that's all, I mean, I'm not satisfied with a few bones tossed at us. I want the man to honor his commitments, his pledges, his promises. He's not.
Well,
he just
that's
isn't.
True. That's
so
true.
We'll see, Tex. That was a good analysis, and it was fair. And we'll find out. The first day in office when he did not announce he was going to begin the withdrawal of American troops from Eastern Europe and, in fact, sent more of them, I knew it was over. That was the end.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And now he's bringing in more Muslims than Barack Obama did.
Now, I did not mention tax reform.
He's dropped it. Last week he said, my phenomenal tax reform is dead. I'm going back to the drawing board. That's a quote.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So it's done.
Yeah, he hasn't got the House and the Senate on that, or health care, either one. I'm not sure we should blame him or Paul Ryan.
I don't know who to blame. I don't know. Either we have two choices here. He was either sat down and talked to after he won about how the president actually operates and who issues the real orders, or he was conning us the entire year and a half. I don't know how else. Those are our two choices.
Well, after April, if he starts coming down hard on Paul Ryan, then we'll know. But if he gives a pass to Paul Ryan, oh my.
Well, if he can give a pass to Hillary Clinton, he can give a pass to anybody. Think about that. Anyway.
That's right.
Texas,
that's right, absolutely.
Wonderful, wonderful visit. Thank you for sharing your thoughts, and a lot of people heartily concur. No question.
Okay, Jeff. Great meeting with you again.
Always. Thank you, my friend. Talk to you next month.
Okay. Right. Bye-bye.
Good night. Okay, and we will be back with more in just a few minutes.